proclaiming the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible study. In that passage known as the Lord's Prayer, Jesus Christ asked his followers to pray that God would work his will on earth as it is in heaven. As Job asked in the 9th chapter of his book, "Who can hinder God? Who will say unto him, what are you doing?" Also, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon uttered a similar sentiment in Daniel chapter 4. These verses indicated that an omnipotent, all-powerful God can impose his will upon the entirety of creation. Why then do believers specifically need to pray for God to work his will on earth? One possible answer connected the Savior's linking the request for God to work his will on earth with the preceding prayer, that God's kingdom might come to earth. Once God's kingdom comes to earth, once God rules over the entire earth, then he will be able to work his will on earth without hindrances from, as Paul described it, principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. Though that day remains in the future, it will indeed come to pass. The hosts of heaven in Revelation chapter 11 proclaim that, quote, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever," unquote. God created man in his own image. Yet, as the author of Ecclesiastes put it, quote, "They have sought out many inventions," unquote. The Hebrew word hishabon, translated as inventions, denoted any device used to wage war. Thus, the imagery presented by the writer in Ecclesiastes set up the mental image of mankind opposing God, a scene that recurs throughout recorded human history ever since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. No wonder that in Psalm 14, God exclaimed that, quote, "They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one," unquote. According to Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. However, as John noted in 1 John chapter 5, the whole world lieth in wickedness. The devil, described as the god of this world in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the devil continues to resist God, and those who remain subject to the devil's control will do likewise. Yet, when God establishes his kingdom on earth, that situation will change. In the 20th chapter of Revelation, John described how an angel would lay hold on the dragon, that old serpent which is the devil and Satan. How God would, quote, "bind him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled," unquote. At that time, with the devil safely incarcerated, the inhabitants of the earth will live in total submission to the will of God. When that day comes, when God does indeed enact his will upon the earth, many situations will improve. God will undo the effects of the curse that he placed upon the earth after Adam and Eve had rebelled against him. Perfect justice will prevail on earth. Righteousness will prevail on earth. The human race will finally experience peace once God uproots all wickedness from the earth. For these, and for many other reasons, believers ought to pray for God to accomplish his will on earth, because the kingdom of God will be something beyond belief as to the benefits it provides the human race. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible study.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.